We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Our final hour here on Show and Vern on this tough Monday as the Chiefs take the L and their season comes to an end, which means our stashes came to an end. We let those go immediately afterwards. I am Ron the Show. This is Joshua Lamont Vernier. And why do you have that? All right, sir, what is it?
It just feels really good to shave my stash.
You didn't even have one.
I only got rid of it.
Hey, did you see Mahomes' mustache last night?
Yeah, that's what Courtney said.
That was gross.
That's what Courtney said. She said, is he
was sad, but that made him look real sad.
She said, is he jumping in to the stash? Yeah, that was rough.
He was supporting us.
Yeah, well, we appreciate it, but don't ever grow that again.
Thank you. As we've said all day, we will. Third man will set you up. We'll kick off every single segment hearing from you. We don't want to be selfish at all. Dan in Overland Park, go ahead. It's your time, Big Dan.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Love the show. Listen quite a bit. I had a question about the neutral zone infraction. Actually, two questions. One about the neutral zone infraction with D4. I was looking at, like, the NFL rules online today, and it says that inside of 2 minutes, the play should have been blown dead if there was indeed a neutral zone infraction, meaning that interception never happened. So in my mind, like, one of two things happens. Either you blow it dead or you let the play out and we get the pick. But I don't understand how they kind of have it both ways there in that situation. And then kind of part two is, I know a lot's been said about our inability to get pressure on Brady. You know, I heard a little bit last night listening to the post game about Sutton's decision to kind of flip D Ford and Houston. Getting pressure on the quarterback. I just want to know if you guys thought that had any impact on their ability to get to Brady.
I appreciate that call. And Dan, that is a good point that we didn't bring up. First off, on the neutral zone infraction, if the defense is lined up off sides or if the defense jumps and they're not unevaded to the quarterback, they allow a free play to the offense. It's if the offense jumps that they blow it dead right there. So that was done correctly. Second, that's a good point. All year, for the most part, D Ford has lined up against the right tackle. It seemed like that was switched more. Mm-hmm. It seemed like Justin Houston, and that's where D Ford has dominated. That's where D Ford has dominated from that side of the field. It did seem like that D Ford was up against that monster, the left tackle, a lot more than he was in the last game. I don't know if they wanted to get D Ford in his blind spot. I don't know. I don't know why you would change anything from rushing the passer that worked in the game against the Colts than you would here. But that was an interesting thing. Good point, Dan.
Yeah, but still, you hit Brady once out of 94
right.
plays. That is a keen observation, but even if they were flipped, I don't know if the difference would have been noticeable.
All right, hit the people up with this because you brought this up. You said it.
Well, I remember during postseason baseball with the Royals, where my whole message was, man, appreciate what's happening right now. Appreciate who you're with, where you're at, and that the eyes of the baseball world have descended upon Kansas City. I was very much about be present, and you know what, even if things don't work out tonight against the Giants, even if things don't work out against the New York Mets, hey man, look at where the Kansas City Royals have come from. I don't feel that way. I don't get all melancholy or sentimental or emotional when it comes to the Chiefs. Because to me, football isn't fluky. The odds aren't stacked against you the same way that they are in Major League Baseball. It was spitting in the face of everything we've known about Major League Baseball for a team predicated on a bullpen and speed making it to back-to-back World Series. That's not supposed to happen and likely never will happen again. When you have the greatest quarterback in the NFL, getting to the AFC title game isn't something that you should relish in and go, isn't this swell? Can you believe the league MVP is here? No, man, I'm not. Look, I meant all of that when I said it about the Royals. I really do hope you took mental snapshots of who you were with and everything that went into the World Series against the Giants and the New York Mets. But there's no sentimentality when it comes to the NFL. NFL, the old cliche, is not for long. When you have that opportunity that was presented before the Chiefs yesterday, you have to capitalize because Aaron Rodgers, as I heard CDOT point out yesterday, Aaron Rodgers still hasn't played an NFC title game at home. Has never done it. So I'm not going to sit here today and go, hey, well, there's always next year. We got Patrick Mahomes for another decade and a half.
Because you watch Brett Favre and Aaron.
Yes, we want to believe that we have Patrick Mahomes for the next decade and a half and that he's always going to be surrounded by talent. But, man, there are a lot of great Hall of Fame quarterbacks that if you told that to, they would laugh in your face and then point to their resume because they never got back. Baseball and football are completely different, especially in Kansas City.
I don't want to fault people who, because I say this, there are different fans. People are different fans. Fans think differently. I said that there is the guy who is the ultra-positive guy or gal who always sees the positive route of their team. Then there's the ultra-negative guy. I'll never forget when I was at the wild card game against the A's when Shields gave up the home run to Brandon Moss early. It was at the first inning. And the guy next to me said, oh, it's over. It's over. It's over. And it's like that guy. And then I say this. I know a lot of people get upset with me because they feel like that I'm negative. I'm a person that I always, when I'm watching and I look at it, the way I operate is, okay, where could we be? Where could problems be for this team and how far they can get and judging on what they could do. And I don't want to crush people about the positive thing, but man, I just don't know how you get there, man. I don't know how you get there in this city when you've been this starved and you've had
not even this city. I don't care what city
it is. You don't
care
what city.
You had a quarterback put together one of the three greatest seasons. You had an offense put together one of the five greatest seasons. You have a future Hall of Fame caliber head coach. This is the perfect storm, and in the NFL. Where there's a salary cap, you can go worst to first. When you're presented this opportunity to act as if, man, I'm just grateful that they got there, I can't do that because I've seen it backfire too often. But in baseball, the game is rigged against the Kansas City Royals. You're not supposed to win in Kansas City. The NFL, everyone gets a fair shot, so I'm not telling anyone to appreciate the atmosphere last night at Arrowhead. No, man, that was the NFL's a bottom line business.
You got to
finish
it
or lose.
You got to finish it. And like, I think this is, and I promise you, when I read this text on this person, I completely disagree. But I'm not I just feel like it's sometimes not in perspective. From the 816, man, don't tell me we shouldn't be proud or sentimental. First, I'm going to tell you how to feel. Should be proud or sentimental of what we achieved this season. That was a damn fun season, and I'll remember it for the rest of my life. I don't know, maybe there was something in particular that happened in your life but if it's overall for what happened in the season, like for me, the type of fan I am, this is not a remember it for the rest of my life season.
I hope not, or else you have a very low standard.
But I feel like that is something that we may be in here in Kansas City. This is not a 2014 with the Royals. They went to the World Series. They lost at Game 7. I'll never forget it the rest of my life. The year my son was born, not just for that, the year my son was born, me and my wife was there at Game 7. I'll never forget it. 2015, I'll never forget it. Like, you know, winning a playoff game, that's not a season. Like, I understand what Mahomes did, but that's not a, You know what I mean?
The deck's not stacked against you. You can win just as well as anyone else
can.
You had
the best guy.
Best player on the field.
Yeah, so and I'm not trying to crush you, 816. I just the type of way that I think and the type of fan I am, and we all are different fans, like this isn't I won't remember it for the rest of my life type of season. That's me. Let's go Fred in Overland Park. Go ahead, Fred.
Well, you know, one of the things you and I agree on, but we may say it in a different way, is people have to understand the difference of if you went to KU or K-State, for example, you're going to be tied to them for the rest of your life. And I understand that, and we understand that. To just sit here as fans and point fingers and things like that when things go wrong, whose fault is it, et cetera, to be the Chiefs every year, it's a playoff loss. Next year, it's the grass is greener on the other side of the fence, and in this case, next year. I've said what you say in the fact that that window is short in the NFL. And another thing I say here is two things the Chiefs as an organization do not learn is this is not the 85 Bears where you can be a one-trick pony, great defense, average offense. You have to have a complete team. I'm one of the people called in pretty pissed off that we didn't try to sign Dante Fowler at the same time the Rams were undefeated and we were. And the Chiefs organization came out and basically said, we don't need any help. We don't need anybody. We did nothing. Guess what? If you watch the Rams win that game,
Dante Fowler was huge.
Made the play.
Absolutely.
He was the one who made the play that was the interception in overtime.
And exactly. And that's my whole point. I call in every year and say, why don't the Chiefs as an organization say, what did they do, these other teams? What are they doing that we're not? The fact that all year, ex-players, ex-coaches, not me, calling these games on these sports talk channels, ESPN, et cetera, pointed to the defense. They got better. I'm not here to dog them.
Here, Fred, I'm up against one. I want to ask you a quick question real quick, one-word answer or one-statement answer. When was it that you realized or you felt that this team has a serious opportunity to get to a Super Bowl? At what point of the season?
I called in from day one saying, what part of the worst defense in the NFL are you guys missing?
But I'm asking you, at what point did you feel like the Kansas City Chiefs, at what point of the season did you feel like, okay, this team legit has a shot to get to the Super Bowl?
Hey, they played damn good against the Colts.
All right, I got you.
The Chiefs clearly, the defense picked it up.
I got you, Fred. I appreciate it. That was a really good call. I get what he was saying. Dante Fowler, I said that the Rams were a team that had better defensive players than you did. And they had the number one pass rusher in the game in Aaron Donald, and they still went and got another one. Coming up, Andy Reid spoke. Andy Reid is next.
Show and Vern, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending at kclend.com.
Remember, we're going to kick off every segment going to the people, but the only thing that stops that is your head coach, Andy Reid. He spoke, and here is Andy.
I don't have any injuries for you right now. You guys are coming in doing their exit physicals today. I'll have a chance to talk to the team. That's really what today's about. And then I obviously we go back and look at the rest of it. Everything's a little too fresh right this minute, so to reflect too much. I do appreciate the fans and all the support that they gave us this year. They were phenomenal. Obviously, our goal was to bring a Super Bowl here and to get that done. It didn't happen, but we will go back to work and strive to do that for the city. And I appreciate the effort that the players coaches gave this year to the organization, and again, we'll go back and evaluate everything once things settle down here a little bit. So, anyways, with that, time's yours.
What do you think this game does for Pat moving forward, just being a part of such a big game in his first year as a starter?
Yeah, I think it's a great learning experience. I mentioned that during the season. I thought every game was a learning experience for him, something where he could get something out of the game and get better as a player. He's still got room to grow. He knows that, and he'll work hard this offseason to do that. But what a great start he had, and a nice foundation that he built. He got to see the magnitude of a game like this and how it's a little bit faster than the game before, and that's the way it continues up through the Super Bowl.
What is his offseason challenge? What do you want him to work on?
I'll go through all that with him. I'll sit back and evaluate it. And that's what this time's for now, to do that. But to make talk about that now, I'm not going to get into all that.
Hey, what was your process like last night after the game? I mean, what do you do after a game like that? You lock yourself in a room and think about yourself? Do you surround yourself with friends?
Yeah, it was very final, first of all. I mean, that's unless you're winning the Super Bowl, it's final. You work so hard to make sure that you get everything done and prepare yourself, and then for it to end, I go back and I have to get organized for today. Today's a big day as far as the exit physicals and then taking making a meeting with each player. So I try to organize that.
You sleep?
I didn't sleep much last night, but I'm good to go. I'm ready for you guys.
Andy, you're talking about the finality of it, and obviously it's within the rules, it's the way it is, but I wonder if you had your druthers, would you set up overtime to be a different kind of model?
I've sat in on a few of those meetings, and, they go back and forth. So it's what the league came up with, and I support it. I sure would have liked to have had another crack, though.
I know you support it, but do you think, I mean, is it reasonable to suggest there's a fundamental unfairness to one team having a chance, whether it's you or them, to score? And
you got to be a good coin flipper, and then you got to get off the field if you don't have the ball.
Yeah. With the way the team has played for much of the year, Andy, and the statistics and giving up 37 points in a home playoff loss, what do you feel, as early as it is now, needs to change?
Yeah, so listen, I all those same players, all that stuff, I'll go back here and look at. I look at everything. So, I mean, that's a I'll take a peek at all that.
Andy, Brett had really harped on, at least with us, the emphasis on getting tougher on defense and the draft philosophy. For them to run the way they did a year later, is that tough to swallow?
Listen, we wanted to do better there. But I would tell you, they're probably saying the same thing, and they're going to the Super Bowl, right? So when it comes down to the last drive, you magnify where it is, but this was a championship game. It was in overtime. When you really cut to the chase of it here, the few games that we lost by minimal points, so we obviously were doing something right.
Do you have if I can follow up on Nate's question, I think, do you have a timeline? Do you know if, for instance, the defensive coordinator would be back next year? Do you want him back?
Yeah, I go back. I've never talked about that here. I've never done that. So it's something I just go back and I look at everything, and that's the best answer I can give you for that.
Coach, on that subject, I mean, Pat had such a great year, 50 touchdowns. But I think none of the guys that threw 50 won the Super Bowl, and it's still only one guy that's going to be true again this year. Only one guy that's thrown 40 touchdowns and won the Super Bowl. Is that a sign that when you are that prolific, that good, that leaves you vulnerable somewhere else? That whether it's how much you're going to, I know this is stuff you'll look at in the future, but the thought in your head that, hey, you have you one side of the ball or teams that are that prolific throwing it, don't burn enough clocks, if the defense out there too much, is there anything like that going through your head?
Yeah, listen, I'll go back and look. We're sitting here. This is a championship game and loss of the Super Bowl team in overtime. So I know that's real. We've got to get better in a lot of areas. We've got to get better. I got it. You can about count on one hand the number of points that you lost all your games with. So this is part of the problem here. When you lose, you got to face all this. I get it. But there's a time and a place to look at everything in a little bit more rational position than less than 24 hours after a game, a final game.
Hey,
Andy, you said that Patrick learned some things during the course of the game. What specifically did you see him learn and adjust to in the course of the game and get better at last night?
Yeah, so last night they started off blitzing, came out blitzing every down. And I think, he did a great job of adjusting a few little things. In his game, the rest of the guys did. I did, and part of the play calling, which is important. So, it gave us a chance there to straighten some things out, win some one-on-one battles. It takes a certain look to make sure that you can handle that.
When you have a player like that, how much do you think it's your job, big picture-wise, going forward, to say, okay, we got Patrick Mahomes here, and we lost a lot of games by a little bit. It's my job to get this team to a Super Bowl and win it with this young man at quarterback.
Yeah, so you've known me a long time, and I'm always going to do what I think is right for the team, try to make it the best possible we can. We're this close on offsides to being in Atlanta. So I'm going to work like crazy to on my end to make sure it's right. Within mind, doing everything right, what I think is right for the Chiefs.
And well, here's a note for me. What did you think of the gesture of Tom Brady going into the locker room and speaking with the young quarterback?
Yeah, I thought that was phenomenal. That's a tremendous amount of respect. I don't think Tom does that with everybody. For Patrick, for him to come in and talk to Patrick, I thought it was special. So it was a very good, very nice gesture by him.
Andy, you mentioned the offsides. What do you say before you had such a great season and for it to kind of the lasting impression be that moment? What kind of things are you talking to him about right now?
Yeah, well, I haven't seen him yet, so he did have a great season. He was doing everything possible to try to get to the quarterback. Like I said, it wasn't but by a few inches, but I thought it was legitimate. He was, it looked like, on the angle of our camera at least, that he might have been off by a tad. Normally you're warned and the coach is warned if somebody's doing that before they throw in a game of that magnitude. But they did, and he didn't waste any time doing it. He didn't wait till the interception to throw it. He had his hand on his flag right from the get-go, so he saw it on his angle and felt that was the call.
Andy, what's Eric Berry's offseason going to be like from a medical standpoint?
Yeah, so we're going through all that now. I mean, the guys are coming in, they go through all their exit stuff, so I don't have any of that information for you right now.
With the there's a conventional notion, Andy, and I'm sure you've heard this before, that maybe there are times where a coach loses sort of his voice to the players, just gets stale. Do you ever get that sense with how guys respond to Bob, and how do you think they handle sort of his sort of direction of the defense throughout the year?
Yeah, I didn't feel that. Yeah, but that's how.
Coach, you guys have had such a good run of coming out and jumping on people early, and particularly getting those three and outs when you're getting the fur. How difficult is it when that's kind of the rhythm of what you guys do when the Patriots are out there for a long time, that first drive, pick up get a sense of that.
Yeah, normally we sustain. It doesn't matter what the other team does. Normally we get out and sustain drives. We were the best team in football at scoring on the first drive. We didn't get that done. I'll take responsibility for it. So as long as they kept the ball, we could have kept the ball. So it doesn't. It's no different. Like I said, we were able to bounce ourselves back and put ourselves in a position where you have an opportunity to take care of it.
There was a tough call on Chris Jones up in the passer. Do you think the new implementation of that rule was a success this year?
I don't know about that, but that one I didn't agree with. I saw our quarterback from play 27 on get two hits that were way worse than that weren't called. So that one I didn't feel. I thought the offsides was legitimate call. I didn't agree with that one.
After the fact, I mean, going in, I know you guys talked, the experience differential was talked about a lot. Now that you look back on it, they had 123 games of AFC Championship experience. You guys had zero, and now 53, right? But how much did that play a role? Do you look back? Was that a little bit of...
Yeah, I thought maybe a little bit early, but I felt like we rebounded. We put ourselves in a position to win the game, and really it came down to inches there. And as it does when two good teams play each other, and we were short by inches with an interception, with the ball in our hand, game over. So that's the part that hurts there. You know, that you have opportunities to take care of business. You want to do it. Can we learn from it? Yeah, that's what we're going to do. And that's what you do right now. And then you get yourself ready for the next haul next year.
With the way you guys selected players in the draft, going primarily defense, and even adding a guy like Charvarius late in the preseason, how would you describe their season as a collection, like a group of young players, and what needs to sort of be the next step for them as a group on that defense?
Yeah, so listen, again, I'll go back and look at all that. I mentioned it during the season, with the exception of giving something to you on this, but during the season, I thought our young guys did some nice things. I thought the addition in our secondary of a couple of things kind of tightened things up, and we played better. So, I thought as Nadi continued to grow, he had a tremendous season. So, those were things that. There were some good additions in there. We'll continue to grow there with the young guys. They'll continue to get better. That's a positive. I mean, we led the National Football League in sacks, hurries on the quarterback, all those things. When we tightened it up on the back end a little bit, we got better there. So, you know, that's not an easy thing to do. It's not easy to be in the championship game. I mean, remember that. As you ask all these questions, remember that. This is an easy thing. Don't understand it right now. Just listen. So it's not an easy thing to do. So there's a lot of credit that goes out to these guys that busted their tail to put this organization in this city to have an opportunity like that. Actually, that's a special thing. We'll work on taking care of the rest, but don't downplay that there were only four teams playing yesterday. And you were one of them.
Yeah, with a couple more guys. With the, in your 20 years, have you been a part of a team where you have so many guys on, so many young guys on one particular side of the ball that you knew were going to kind of grow together between year one, year two, year three, like this defensive young guys are?
Yeah, no, listen, I don't have the numbers for you. You'd have more access to that than I would at this point. But I've had some good teams, so I have had some young guys that have helped that Philadelphia organization get to the Super Bowl. So. But I will tell you, this is a good group right here of young guys, the nucleus of this group. And it's important today, in today's football, that the nucleus of this group gives you an opportunity to win football games and strive to win the championship.
Coach, to piggyback off of that, I know it's been just 24 hours, but in the weeks and months to come, you look back on the season, what do you remember most about this team?
Yeah, I think the heart of the players. I go back to those games that we lost. We lost by just a few points. I mean, you can literally, it might be both hands, but you can win much. The total number of points. And, I'm proud of the guys and the effort, the tenacity. You saw yesterday that they never got down. They continue to fight and put ourselves in a position to win the game. So.
A couple weeks ago, Lamar Jackson related an anecdote about a coordinator in the AFC who suggested that he become a wide receiver, and he was kind of crazy. Do you think because that's your guy, Cleveland and others, that kind of thing is kind of over in that? Although people in the Super Bowl are completely different, but do you think that you've had Vic and others, do you think that that's kind of taken over, that talk is kind of over, and people accept a new style of play, this is okay.
Yeah, now listen, I've taken no service, so as I said, but I've never looked at it that way, never plan on looking at it that way. I don't see that kind of thing. I don't, we're all the same in my eyes here, and we're a team, and that's the important thing. So I've never heard anybody that's gone that direction with things. I was a big fan of Warren Moon. You mentioned those things, and so
and Shaq before that. So, I mean, all these guys that have come up and played, I know times might have been a little bit different then. But, again, I've never heard that. I've just, you know, you see it. And so now I don't think it's even a question. I think it's – and that's a beautiful thing, man. That's a beautiful thing.
I mean, you Sorin and then by.
I think I know the answer. Just to add on the record, you're talking about evaluating things. Are you evaluating yourself? You're going to be back? No plans for thinking about it? Or what's
– Yeah, so I'll evaluate myself. Yeah, I do that daily. So I'll continue to do that.
But you plan on being the coach next year? That's not – or is that an evaluation you're going to do as well?
No. Listen, I mean, I'm the coach right now. So unless Clark tells me different.
All right, Bobby.
And if you look back to July or August, I don't know if you do any projections in your head, even unconsciously but or subconsciously, but what did you expect of Patrick this year? And, I mean, how did this – mesh with that?
We thought Patrick was obviously worth going up and getting, and so we did that. I liked what I saw at the Denver game. I liked what I saw during training camp. During the Denver game, I wasn't sure that was the direction we were going with Alex, but I thought Patrick did do a nice job in that game with room to grow. I saw him continue to grow during training camp. And every week since then, I thought he continued to better his game, which is a great foundation for him. So his work ethic and his love for the game, his leadership, all of those things, I thought continued to grow, and that'll drive him. That will also drive him, and gives us great opportunity to be a productive football team.
Did the 50 touchdowns surprise you?
Yeah, listen, I'm not real big on numbers, you know that, but that was a pretty impressive deal, I will say.
There is Andy Reid, and here is your final chance on Show and Vern to win $1,000 in the National Cash Contest. You still have another four chances during the drive, and then, of course, an opportunity at 6:30 tonight with Bink at Night. Right now, text the word LIMIT to 72881. That's LIMIT, LIMIT to 72881. Message and data rates may apply. Your next chance to win is 2:30. Only station in the city. Reliving that mess yesterday and giving you 12 opportunities. We're doing it all week from 7 in the morning until 7 at night. Make sure you listen on the 30s to win $1,000 in the National Cash Contest. Again, text LIMIT to 72881, LIMIT, LIMIT to 72881.
All right, coming up here, as we just heard from Andy Reid, from a personal level, Vern, I got to be honest with you, yesterday was really a tough loss, one I'll never forget. I'll speak about that here coming up, and I'm going to try like hell not to get emotional.
Show and Vern, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending at kclend.com.
All right, welcome back in. Show and Vern. Just heard Andy a little emotional there a little bit. As we've talked about throughout the day, we will take your phone call. This show is as much about the fans here in Kansas City as anything else. So on today, we have opened up just about every segment. You can call in 913-576-7610. Get this off your chest. Let it go, and the third man will get you going for this. Vern, I told you yesterday was Little Show's fifth birthday. He had a really good birthday. He had a good time, played, had the cake. Almost every kid came. Good job. Good time.
How many bags you get out of it?
Huh?
Gift bags.
Well, we had it as a no-gift party.
Oh, okay.
We had it as a no-gift, and if it was a gift, it would be maybe like, you know, something he could do down the line or you know, money.
Sure.
Stuff like that. He was pissed about putting that money in his bank. But no, man, we did that. Of course, you know, grandparents had to hell with him, and they, you know, Mama Show got him a Kelce jersey that he refused to take off. Sweet. He had it on this morning. You know, the grandparents, they hooked him up, but so not too many bags. We had a good time. And I said it yesterday that this was going to be the day that his real sports fandom starts. It'll either start with, hey, my fifth birthday, I'll never forget because the Chiefs have gone to the Super Bowl for the first time and whatever. And I stay, because we let him stay up. He blew past his bedtime. I know many parents just let their kids blow through their bedtime last night. Or the real pain of a sports fan starts. He was so excited at one point when Williams scored the touchdown to take the lead, he jumped in such excitement, he farted. Well, 5 years, he farted loud. Yes! Came through. So proud of him. And then he woke up this morning with that, came in, and he said, Dad, I had a dream. And I just dreamed about the Chiefs when they played the 49ers and won.
Damn.
My son will never forget his fifth birthday. I asked him, I said, what are you going to remember about your fifth birthday? He said that the Chiefs lost and I got a tablet.
He'll forget about the tablet.
He will. He'll never forget this one. He'll never forget this one. So it kind of sucks. I tell you, I remember my earliest memory of when my real fandom started of pain was when Kansas lost in 1997 to Arizona. Mike Bibby, Jason Terry, Michael Dickerson, that group. That's my first young memory. Mom let me cuss for no reason. She heard me. This one was for him, and I feel bad. He'll never forget this, and he'll never forget. And I almost try to tell myself maybe – the pain here will make it better and sweeter when the Chiefs finally do win. Something I'm trying to tell myself.
If they win,
they'll get one. I believe they'll get one. I believe it. I hope. But it'll be sweeter. Remember, son? Because that's the first thing he said. Well, Dad, I guess you're not going to Atlanta.
Oh, and he doesn't even know what Atlanta truly entails.
He don't know what it is. He don't know what it is. He was emotional. So it was tough. But his sports fandom has officially started, and it went south. But it'll mean more.
Well, he's a Kansas Cityan.
Yep, he is. But he does have the Jayhawks. Greg and KC, go ahead.
Hey, guys. Just wanted to say how disappointed I am in the way the season ended last night. You know, it's not every year you make it to the AFC Championship game as healthy as the Chiefs did. And, you know, we got to blame Beach for this one. It goes all the way back to hashtag Pat needs Pat, man. Didn't make any moves, and the defense was obviously still the problem.
I appreciate the call, Greg.
Man, what a great point. I mean, how many teams get to the AFC Championship game this healthy? Everyone played, right? LDT. Okay, LDT was inactive for the game.
And Dorian O'Daniel, the girly stopper.
Okay, right. So like I said, how many teams get there this healthy?
They were healthy. I mean, he's got a point, man. They were healthy. We've known since David Amerson the problems of the secondary.
Right.
We've known – you know, the Chiefs have known about the guys up front. You've known about Reggie Ragland for a long time. A long time. You've known. And they didn't do anything for it. As we said throughout – we will lead off every segment hearing from you because this is much about anyone. This is the final segment coming up. So if you want to be the final one we hear from, go ahead and hit that number 913-576-7610. The money shot coming up, and this to me was the biggest disappointment of the entire game.
Show and Vern, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending at kclend.com.
All right, welcome back in. Final segment of Show and Vern. Remember, today is much about you. Serta, if you don't take the busy thing off, stop. It's as much about you. Go ahead and get in. Last time for the day. Get your call in and get your thoughts in. This is the day after the Chiefs just lost the game to get to the Super Bowl.
And I've been answering their phone calls all day.
All right, quit being an ass. Really, from the 816, I called, sort of answered the phone, then immediately hung up. Screw you. Screw you, Dimples.
That is not true. I have not hung up on anybody all day.
Coming up behind
us.
I just saw
you hang up on an entire bank of phone calls.
We did.
I've never seen it, man. You're a real jerk. I mean, a real piece. I mean, you're like a Chiefs defender. Mays and Barber today. I can't wait to hear Sean Barber.
Oh my goodness, alive. I didn't even think of
that. Joe Mays and Sean Barber.
Do you know what he's going to do?
He's
going to
flip. He's going to flip?
On the Patriots and the NFL and how it's rigged, he is likely.
He probably will go there.
You know how he feels about the Patriots.
He will and ignore that. Ignore the plays.
He'll
that
be all
with
about
the
left tackle lining up in the backfield.
Ooh. Yeah.
Which baited D Ford to line up, or the referee should have warned D Ford that he was lined up offsides.
But Joe Mays.
Oh, man. I can't wait. What three?
Sean Barber, 3 o'clock. They're in. They're giving Sean a full hour. I get the feeling Sean's just going to settle in for two. I think Sean's just going to settle in for two and just sit there. By the way, we had not touched this. Eric Fisher. What was that? There was that play at the end of the half that could have been even worse, that ended in a fumble when Eric Fisher got beat like somebody stole something. And he saw the guy run past him and run to go hit Pat, but he turned and took steps going forward as if he was about to jump back in and start pass protecting like he didn't know the play was shot. Good gracious, Eric. The offensive line, they had a rough one, didn't they?
Yes.
That was rough, but I think a lot of it was confusion up front, because it wasn't like that great pass rush. And Flowers is good. Flowers just gave Mitchell Schwartz the business like one time, but they appeared to not be prepared in terms of where the protections were going, in terms of who they were picking up and who was being blitzed. They appeared at a real struggle in what they were going to do in terms of who they're going to. All right, Ryan and Casey, go ahead.
I don't want to be woe is me guy, but
just be yourself.
Man, no in particular play, no in particular person, but it's just the most Kansas City Chiefs way to not go to the Super Bowl. It's crazy to me.
Appreciate the call, Ryan.
Why though?
I don't know. It was
very 2018 Chiefs. Yeah. But I don't know.
Yeah, the offense had to be perfect and that looked like the Chiefs defense, except, you know, the Chiefs defense that, I'll give you this, maybe the defense allowed teams to score a little quicker than they did in the regular season. But that was the Chiefs defense with basically three turnovers.
I'll be honest, every time the Patriots got the ball within the red zone, I was about just let them score, let's go. Like down the stretch, let them score, get the ball back to Mahomes, let's get that lead back.
I found myself early in that puppy doing what I did on the no punt game on third downs. Like one time I picked up my daughter and I was like, let me just hold her. Maybe this is it. Nice. If I hold her here and maybe they'll get a stop. No, and then I just threw her down. I mean, put her down.
My fiance changed out of her Mahomes jersey at the half.
What did she put on? A Drake shirt? Because that might have been a problem.
Topless.
Wow.
What is that? That's not a noise.
That's mine. That's my.
Sounds like a bad transmission.
I was also topless in the press box.
I believe those pepperoni nipples flying all over the place. Just flying all over the place. Pepperoni nipple here, pepperoni nipple there.
Uh-oh, we're losing them.
We are. Sorry about that. We finished it on that one, Kyle Costas. Just so. Someone said, "Guarantee Barber will blame the refs." Because that's the first thing you came out with.
So remember when he blacked out and went on like a 5-minute diatribe about the Patriots cheating and how their whole dynasty is flawed? Now, I respect him, and he knows more about football than I ever will. He's forgotten more than I ever will, but it's going to get away from Sean at the 3 o'clock hour.
Sean Barber's going to let it ride. Someone said they did the same thing with their daughter. Just picked him up. I would have. If they would have gotten a stop on that play, I would have picked her up. Every she'd have gone to bed late, I'd have picked her up on every third down. On every third down. Someone's going into a point here that I want to make here. 660, it was about coaching. Attention to detail has been lacking all year. It's why Ford lined up offsides. You could say attention to detail.
That's fair.
That's fair, man. They've been the worst in penalties all year.
Right.
They don't, like, we talked about this earlier. Their football IQ is just interesting at times, especially on that side of the field.
And I think that's a reflection of coaching.
Yes. Yeah. But, like, for me, when we go into coaching, like, people have thrown out Bob Sutton, thrown out a lot of different things, D Ford, the lack of pressure on the quarterback. For me, the most disappointing thing of the game, and it is why, the reason why being because I hold this guy to the highest of levels, especially I think I hold him to the highest of levels of anyone in the organization. And to me, that's Andy Reid. Vern, that was very disappointing. You remember last week we came out, we were like, I put it out. I said, you know what? Everybody's talking about what Belichick is going to do to confuse the Chiefs. Everybody's talking about what Belichick's going to do, and he sure as hell came out and did it. I mean, because they were off from the offensive line, Pat. They were off and did things they hadn't seen on tape yet. But I said, Andy is an offensive genius too. I think Andy's a Hall of Fame coach. I said, I know Andy's going to come in and have some kind of matchups or something that he's been sitting up, because I said, I believe Andy's been thinking about this game since week 6 too. I believe Andy is going to feel like we're going to run into the Patriots again too, like I think Belichick did. Belichick clearly made it a focus for Tyreek Hill. And then in turn, it seemed like Andy also said, all right, Bill, you've got that one. I didn't see the move that Andy made that made the Patriots have to adjust something. Or something that Andy did that made the Patriots like, oh, we hadn't seen this yet. And Andy had time. I was very disappointed, man. Andy, you got these weapons. We talked about it. Sammy had a good game. Travis Kelce's the best tight end in football. I think Tyreek Hill is arguably the most unique, best weapon in the league with what he could do with his speed. And you couldn't get those two guys the ball. Damian Williams had the same amount of targets in the passing game as Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce combined. Like, to me, you're too good a coach with those weapons with Patrick Mahomes. You can't get shut out in the first half.
That's what surprised me was that, because, man, I went further than that. I thought Andy had things saved for this game. I thought he'd been preparing for this game since he took the job in Kansas City. I thought we were going to see an offensive orgasm from Andy Reid over the course of those
what
four
you called,
quarters.
Yeah.
Man, I didn't see one thing in the first. Now, second half, sure. You know, Andy drew up some buttes.
Yeah, he drew up the touchdown on the screen to Williams and called a perfect call on that blitz and that blatant pick play he drew up on Chris Conley, which led Sammy down the line to get to another score. Those were all Andy plays.
But with the way that people hit the fan last year with Doug Peterson and what he did in the Super Bowl with the Philly special and all of that, look, Andy had to know that Bill was going to be successful at taking someone away at the first half. I thought he would have a way to circumvent that, to still make that big play more so than just a wheel route that Pat missed out on.
Yeah, man, I keep coming back to it, man. These big games are about big-time players. And Andy allowed, and when you look about the production of how many times these guys had chances to touch the football, he allowed and was okay with his playmakers not touching the football. Then it's one thing if Bill's going to try to take away Tyreek. You are Andy Reid. You shouldn't be able to allow him to take away Tyreek and Travis. That's an issue.
All right, let's finish with the bang. The Money Shot brought to you by Broadway Deli, a mostly Jewish deli for mostly not Jewish city. It's open in the Crossroads. It is the official deli of 610 Sports Radio show. Finish them off.
Listen up. This has been a rough sports weekend for me these past 3 days. Kansas, I'll be in the house tonight. I'll be at Allen Fieldhouse as they take on Iowa State. You better stop the bleeding. Kansas had a ridiculous loss that they've been flirting with. They deserved every bit of it, but a ridiculous loss at West Virginia. The way they end games, they've been flirting with it. The Chiefs gave this game, and they lost this game to the Patriots. The Lakers blew a 20-plus point lead against Houston. Now Lonzo's hurt, too. Tonight, please stop the bleeding. My goodness.
Who are you going to the game with?
I'm going with Mama Show.
Tell your mom I said hi.
What the hell do I need to tell?
You're
going to stop coming at my mom like this.
Yeah, she loves me. You're going to stop coming at my mom like this, man. You didn't let me talk to her today.
No, you're going to stop this.
You didn't let me even say hi to her.
You already said that she's sexy, and now you're going to hit me with the tell her I said hello?
See, now you're taking it somewhere it doesn't need to be taken to. All I'm saying is I wish that beautiful woman a beautiful night. A beautiful Lawrence. Take that smile off.
Show and Vern, brought to you by Crossroads Investment Lending at kclend.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.